God you.
Let everything within me cry holy, holy. Let everything within me cry holy. Let's turn to the book of Genesis. In the beginning of the Bible. And to Matthew. In the middle of the Bible. And the book of Revelation. In the end of the Bible. Amen. Genesis 14.
Genesis 14.
Matthew 26.
Matthew 26.
And Revelation 19.
The Psalm 19.
Reading from Genesis 14, verse 1. And it came to pass in the days of Amraphel, king of Shinar, Arioch, king of Elisha, Shadaluma, king of Elam, and Tidal, king of nations.
What the ancient God Amraphel, in Kosia, says Naria, no Arioch, in Kosia, say Elsari, no Shadaluma, in Kosia, say Elam, no Tidal, in Kosia, is
that these made war with Bera, king of Solomon, Bersha, king of Gomorrah, Shinab, king of Adma, and Shemiba, king of Zeboim, and the king of Bela, which is Zoar.
Bapaga impi no Bela, inkosi yase Sodoma, no Birisha, inkosi yase Gomorrah, no Shinabe, inkosi yase Adima, no Shemebele, inkosi yase Zeboimi, inkosi ye Bela, Eli Shaori.
All these were joined together in the Vale of Siddim, which is the Salt Sea.
Bonke laba bashangana eskoti yase Sidim, Eli Luanji, Liga Saudi.
12 years they served Shadaluma, and in the 13th year they rebelled.
And
in the 14th year of Shadaluma, the kings that were with him and smote the Rephaim in Ashtaroth Canaim and in Susim in Ham and Em in Shaveh Kuriatim. And the whole righteous of Mount Seir unto El Paran, which is by the wilderness. They returned and came to En Mishpat, which is Kadesh, and smote all the country of the Amalekites and all to the Amorites that dwell in Hazan Tamar.
There
went out the king of Sodom, and the king of Gomorrah, and the king of Adma, and the king of Zeboim, and the king of Bela, the same as Zoar, and they joined battle with them in the Vale of Siddim.
Yakuma in Kosia Sotoma, in Kosia Gomorrah, in Kosia Atima, in Kosia Zepoimi, in Kosia Zepela, Eliza Zahori, Bashoma, Walanabu Escojin Sase Zitim.
With Shadaluma, the king of Elam, and with Tidal, king of nations, and Amraphel, king of Shinar, and Arioch, king of Elisha, four kings with five.
Walanu, Shadaluma, in Kosia Elam, the Titan, in Kosia Yaziz, no Amraphel, in Kosia Sinaria, no Arioch, in Kosia Elsari, Amakos Amani, Alanai Sishan.
The Vale of Siddim was full of slime pits, and the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled and fell there, and they that remained fled to the mountains.
And
they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their food supplies and went their way. They took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. And there came one that had escaped, and told Abram the Hebrew, for he dwelt by the oaks of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Eshcol and brother of Anah, and these were confederate with Abram.
And
when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, bore in his own house 318.
Abraham esezwile ukuthi umzalwane wakhe uLoti uthunjiwe wabutha izinceku zakhe ezifundisiwe ebezizelwe endlini yakhe ezingamakhulu amathathu amashumayisishiyangalombili wabaxotsha kwaze kwaba sedani.
And he divided his men against them, and he and his servants by night, and smote them and pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus.
Wazahlukanisa ebusuku izinceku zakhe wabahlasela wabanqoba wabaxotsha waze wafika eHoba engasenyakatho waseDamaseko.
And he brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot and his goods, and the woman also, and the people.
And the
king of Salem went out to meet him after he returned from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer and of the kings that were with him at the valley of Sheba, which is the king's dale.
Emva kokubuya kwakhe enqobeni uChedorlaomer namakhosi anayo, yaphuma inkosi yaseSodoma yaya kumhlangabeza esigodini saseShabe esiyisigodi senkosi.
Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram, of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth.
And
blessed be the Most High God, who hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand, and he gave him tithes. And the king of Salem said unto Abram, give me the persons and take the goods to thyself. And Abram said to the king of Salem, I have lifted up mine hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and
earth.
And I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abram rich. Save only that which the young men have eaten, and the portion of the men which went with me, Anah, Eshcol, and Mamre, let them take their
portion.
Matthew
26.
Reading from verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body.
And he took
the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Now watch this prophecy now.
But I
say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.
Revelation 19.
Verse 7-9. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he said unto me, write, blessed are they who are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, these are the true saints of God.
yaisitigimi lova ukuti wavusisi wapamenyelwe sijenson shati weuzu yaisitigimi lawo mamazwi aqinisileyo kankulunkulu.
Let's bow our heads and close our eyes with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight to be gathered another time in your presence. Lord, how we come, humbling ourselves under your mighty hand. Father, as the people who have been trained to be sensitive to your Holy Spirit, to look for you when we gather together, the way that you would move and the way that the Holy Spirit would lead us, that we can follow, Lord, the inspiration. Lord God, have gathered us together. Lord, our brother came and sang that song tonight, "All to Jesus I Surrender." Lord, saying that he felt led to sing that song. He don't know why, but Lord, we know all things work together for good.
Amen.
Lord, maybe you have given us that message to be surrendered to you tonight, Father, to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, to come in obedience to your word, that you would be getting ready to speak to us. Yes. Father, we surrender our all to your word now.
Hallelujah.
Be it unto us according to thy word.
Hallelujah.
Father, all that thou sayest, that will we do.
Hallelujah.
May you speak to us in a direct and personal way. May you get honor and glory. For we pray and we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may have your seat. I want to greet you tonight again in the precious name of Jesus Christ. And we truly are enjoying ourselves very much. Preaching the word of life to you. And I trust that as it is a joy to us, it is also a joy to you. And we realize that the things that happen in the services here is what we want to try to catch. Because whenever we gather together, apart from preaching the word, something is happening present tense. Because God didn't just gather us together to tell us of things that was or things that is to come, but it's to bring us to realization, even to the very present hour, that He's speaking to us. And as we were speaking last night, that it was so important when Jesus went into the temple and the priest handed him the book. He looked for a specific place to read, because he didn't just come to preach a sermon. He didn't just come to preach from a place in the Bible and give a little lecture, but he was doing something and it was being done consciously. And here we want to find out tonight that if Jesus was here in the corporal body and he came to speak to us and the book is given unto him to read, I don't believe he's going to read it anywhere. I believe he looked for a specific place again to read. And when we see the place that the Holy Spirit is reading, and we see what he's emphasizing in his word, the part of the scripture is attracting our attention to, is certain things in there that he wants us to fellowship with. So I trust by the grace of God that you've been going home and reading over the scriptures and saying, "Lord, I don't believe you'll send these people all the way from the West Indies just to come here to tell stories, because we're living in such a crucial hour." And Lord, we have prayed for these services. We have come with expectation. And we didn't come to see man, but we come to hear from God. And Lord, because we have come with that attitude, and what you have spoken unto us, we believe it's for our purpose. So we want to fellowship with those things and make sure we grasp the understanding that the Holy Spirit is trying to impress upon us at this present time.
And we know that by the grace of God, He have allowed us to see that great mystery of the seven seals, the revelation of the rapture, the coming of the Lord, which was to be a total secret. And that was the mystery that was going to identify the bride. Because the seven seals is the resurrection seal. The prophet preached six seals and the Easter seal. And the Easter seal is the resurrection seal. And the resurrection is not under the first six seals. The resurrection is under the seventh seal. And the Bible says at the last trump, the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible. And the seventh seal, the coming of the Lord, is a shout, a voice, and a trump. So we realize that resurrection, we are part of that resurrection. Because we saw that in the beginning of the Bible, when God had expressed His great mystery of the seven seals in a type in the book of Genesis, and He showed for that threefold secret that He had in the back part of His mind, which was to be manifested in the day of redemption, when what was lost was going to be manifested back into the original condition. And under the seventh seal, the first fall of it, the shout, there's one like Adam, who can say, let it be a squirrel. Little fish, Jesus Christ, give you a life. One who was formed back in the image of the world. And the proof that he was formed in the image of the world, he had the dominion. Because God made Adam in His image and then give him dominion. He didn't give him dominion and after what make him in His image. He had to have the character first, that the power could come to. And many people, reading about the third pole, reading about the spoken word, they pray for it, they beg God for it, but God didn't give it to them. These past 20 years, there isn't anybody who have that testimony that is speaking in the existence since the prophet went up the scene. Because that they form in the word image. They had to come to the same maturity that the prophet was in. He was the way of sheep. The first one that was waved. Proving that he was a wheat. Proving that he was mature. And the proof of it, yeah, dynamics is mechanics.
When a man does mechanics out,
showing the world, I'd come back to its fullness. And then after 20 years, the bride who's been forming the world image, she too has to prove that she is the world. She too has to prove that she has the character. And God is going to send certain experiences to vindicate her claims. Now we can make a lot of claims, but God must vindicate our claims. And God sent the condition, He sent the type of test that the prophet had to face to prove you is worthy of the promise, to prove you recognize his position, to prove that all unbelievers taken out of him, to prove we have made a total separation, to prove we have paid the price. And when you come to that place, then God can say, this is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him. Jesus had 50 years of trials and 2.5 years of harder trials. Amen. And here we come to the place. We've had trials all these years, but we come to a harder trial. Go with that baby.
They've
been forming that mother. She's having pain during her pregnancy. But when the hour comes, that which is formed inside of her is about to be born into a manifestation that others could see through the eye. And her testimony could be vindicated. Jesus said, a woman, when her hour has come, has sorrow. She has weeping, lamenting, wailing. Because her hour has come. And the prophet preached that message, birth pains. You don't have birth pains when you conceive. You don't have birth pains during a pregnancy. That is when what is forming the inside is about to be born into manifestation. And if Christ has been forming you, and a minister has spoken word, and a minister has preached to the Lord, and raised the sleeping saints, it's about to be born into manifestation. Then the church itself will be going through labor pain. Will be going through tension. All kind of circumstances. But because you won't have a time of conception, and the doctor, the pastor, having let her understand what her symptoms is, and been following her pregnancy, and she added word upon word, and she added to her faith virtue, and to her virtue knowledge, and transforming power, is transforming her into the image of the word. Then when the time comes and the experience is going to take place, she will not be confused. She will understand that those things have to happen, because it is a very sign to the woman to put her under positive expectation that what is forming the inside is about to be born in the manifestation. And even though she's going through a hard time of trial, in a sweet spirit, hanging around her. They're fighting and persecuting one another. Ain't trying to chop up one another. Ain't trying to step on one another. She might have been a cruel one before. Before she gets conceived, she might not be able to fully have everything under control while the baby was being formed. But when she's about to give birth, that little angelic being hanging around that woman, and though she, her pain has increased, though it's coming with great rapidity, it's something kind about a woman. A revelation of bodily kindness. Amen. Let you stand here in the time of trial and charity, that super anointing, open gloves, overshadowing that woman. She's not easily provoked. She doesn't behave herself unseemly. She's not puffed up. It's slow to anger. It's kind. Proving that Christ is forming inside of her, that she's ready for a third point of ministry, that something is fixing to happen. Standing there with expectation. Hallelujah. And that's why, if a woman don't understand, from the first little bad feeling she gets, maybe want to vomit or something. Pregnant woman has this little morning sickness. If she not correctly taught and understand the phases and know the seasons and the time and understand what type of experience she'll be having, the time she got a little morning sickness, or a little cramp, she could say, well, like she expecting to give birth. Amen. But it will show wrong knowledge. But if you have correct knowledge, scriptural knowledge, anointed knowledge, hallelujah! Knowledge is a divine revelation. When those things come, she will know that it's just the easy trials. The harder trials going to come down the road. Amen. And from the time she checks her time, and she knows she's about to give birth, she has lived out the mystery. Christ is formed. She's about to give birth now. Every time she understands that, she'd be getting herself prepared mentally, physically, spiritually, because she knows when she go into labor, ain't gonna be a laughing time. She'll have sorrow. She'll have weeping. She'll have lamenting. She'll be travailing in birth. In pain to be delivered. But when she says, minister to the third pole, the spoken word that could bind that man by the knot. Hallelujah! She will have joy that a man child is born into the world. She don't care if the dragon comes to try to close her down, because she know the dragon won't devour this child. Amen. Because when the squeeze comes, she will bind that serpent. That red dragon in the nut. He will be powerless before her. She will be an invincible army. Because right now, she's moving into it. Amen. We can look at the world.
What kind of is it?
See, they're moving into insanity.
The
mental condition.
And
you see the bride moving into the mind of Christ. Into the intelligence. Where she knows what he wants done with the word. Hallelujah. While they are being deformed, we are being transformed. While hell is being created on the earth, souls that are in prison now, they are souls that are in heaven now. Because we recognize our position, and that's heavenly places. To know your position in the world. So the last couple of nights, we've been taking the types of this great mystery of the seventh seal, the resurrection seal, the Easter seal. Because after Adam was Eve. There was nothing promised in between. Amen. And after Eve, they had dominion in the Garden of Eden. And in the middle of the Bible, when Jesus came, the second Adam, after Jesus, was the Alpha Bride. Nothing was promised in between. And the end of the Bible, when the Son of Man is revealed in the last days, after the Son of Man, Revelation 10 on the 7, is Eve again.
Don't ever fool you.
The Omega Bride. Now, between Adam and Eve, the serpent got in the air, which 99 and 99 hundredths of the world, and the 100th not. He had one word in the air, and Eve didn't have a holy man taste. Her thinking was all muddled up. She wouldn't let Adam filter her thinking. Amen. She didn't keep a sacred virtue of sacred womanhood. She didn't know how to behave herself around preachers. And she received another seed. And the bedding ground was defiled. And then you begin to get intellectual church members without a revelation, full of hate, who quick to persecute somebody who God is vindicating. Amen. Then in the middle of the Bible, The Nicolaitans.
Ama Nicolaitans.
The white horse rider.
Umkati wetizeni mtoto.
Come between Adam and Eve.
Wenza kwetu wachendo Eva.
Jesus and the Alpha Bride.
Yesu, lo mlovakazi lo.
And they sow a seed.
Watekele imbewu.
Of discrepancy.
Yes, yobu pamba.
And what did it produce?
Wazezani na.
A bunch of carnal church members.
Hey, itugule. Lama nemba zenyame kanje.
That went into organization.
Abanze kwetu wazishangani.
And the last days.
Wosilasi na.
Between the Son of Man.
Wakati wachendo
mtoto. And the Omega Bride. We are warned. The false anointed ones. Going to come. But this bride will prove she's not like the first two brides. She will keep us a virtue sacred. She wouldn't defile the skirts of a purity. Who can find a virtuous woman with those seven virtues? Sacred virtues to Christ, to prayer, and to the word. Sacred motherhood in a home, the elect lady and her children. She don't have spiritual delinquents. What's the problem with the mother and father? You know them spirits in the church
want
to argue the pastor,
want
to fight among one another. That is spiritual delinquents. You walk into a natural home.
We are jealous. Are
you the little children fighting among one another? Answering back the parents. You know there's a breakdown of respect in that home. They don't recognize office. They don't reverence it. They don't give honor to the parents. They don't understand the mystery of those things. So they reflect a broken home. That these mysteries are absent. Then sacred womanhood. A woman is given certain sacred virtues. Different to any other female. She must know how to behave herself a wrong man. Her bedding ground is only for her husband. She must be in a covenant of matrimony. And she must be governed by the laws of matrimony. Living out the mystery of submission is a great revelation. It takes a meek and quiet spirit to truly reflect that mystery. She brings her goods from afar. She's like the merchant ships. Her children are clothed in scarlet. They have a revelation of redemption. In the winter time, when the place is covered with snow, they're dressed in scarlet. When there's judgment, they're under the blood. A husband sits at the gate with the elders. He's of good report. He can fulfill that responsibility. It's a great thing to be a scriptural wife,
an
apostolic wife,
with
apostolic faith.
It's
not just washing and cooking.
What
young women in the Bible? They had faith.
What kind of God?
See the dead children raised back up. Look at the mother of the air that the prophet talked about. It went in the face of death. Looking for a young one. Not thinking about his own life. Look at the opossum. With a young one. Waiting here. With patience. For the prophet. To pray the prayer of faith. A great mystery of motherhood in the Bible. That we must have in our lives. And the church, a woman, must have that motherhood. Must have that womanhood. Amen. And then the sacred bedding ground to bring forth life for redemption. And when she received the original seed, the spoken word, you watch that church bringing forth the token life that will redeem the loved ones. Amen. Amen. It's a great mystery. That church is walking. She must know how to walk. Walk in truth. Not walking rock and roll.
What's wrong again, rock and roll?
No, she's telling about herself virtue.
What she? We have been our answer.
Amen. Spirit of reverence. We don't want to spend too much on that.
But
I just thought I might say that.
What
because I believe you're a virtuous woman. Bringing forth lies.
Oh, let's
the token lies.
Yes, for
redemption. I don't see no delinquents. If you have any here, the parents know that they spear the rod, they spoil the child. And Paul tell the Corinthian babies, should I come in meekness? Or should I come in the rod? Amen. He's trying to train them in the way they should go. Knowing when they get old, when they mature like the Ephesians, they'll be a prisoner to the word. They wouldn't depart from it. Is that correct? Amen. That with children obey your parents. Amen. So, it is a tremendous time. So this bride is going to prove she's not like the first two brides. She will hold her virtue sacred. And the last couple of nights, trying to preach to you and open up that second fold of the seventh seal, the part that comes after the bridegroom, the part that comes after Adam, the east part, the bride part, the mystery, the voice of the archangel that comes after the shout. And as we take our subject from Revelation 10, 8-11, the mystery between the Gentile prophet and the Jewish prophet. We are going back both nights.
So we are going to slow
the types. To open it up. That we can understand
what
this mystery is. That we can understand God will and purpose for our lives. And that's why we are talking about Jesus coming under the last part of his ministry. And the world being bonged. And the world looking defeated. But those were the conditions that had to identify the ministry was changing. And last night, the woman bringing forth the offering and what the mystery of that offering was, what it takes for you to manifest, to move God in the scene and let God bring the past the dust of the Lord promised that you read about. And that's what we've been doing. Just taking the prophecy and taking the types. So
it's
just been going back home, studying it over and look into it and see the characteristics
that
you have to manifest. Because the mystery, the voice of the archangel,
it's
all the way from Genesis to Revelation. Amen. But we are living in the book of Revelation. But what started to slowly unfold itself from the beginning of the Bible in the book of Genesis, it comes all the way down to the end until all the types, all the shadows, all the prophecies
are
being gathered up and personalized and being identified in the life of the real bride. This is the hour when the real bride is here. We have had the bride in type, down through the ages.
But
the last day, when the seventh seal is open, what was lost in the Garden of Eden being manifested in reality form, proving that this is the day of redemption. Because what was lost is restored back. It's the resurrection time. It's redemption time. It's restoration time. Amen. All speak of the same thing. The word being manifested in reality form.
Yes, you also. Not
in the Pentecostals. Not in the Jews. In you.
What do
you
mean?
So our faith is challenged. Because we are living between the Pentecostals
and the Jews.
The Pentecostals. They don't know about it. They reject it. The Jews. It's not time for them yet. We are living in this hour. Then there must be a people who will step forward and take those things and anoint themselves and make that world live. Somebody is ordained in this hour to make this part of the message of Malachi 4, his prophecy of a bride that is preachable. Somebody must rise on the scene and vindicate these things. That is the true believer. And here tonight, for a little while, we want to take the battle before the communion. Abraham received communion from Melchizedek. After the battle was over. After the victory was won. After he proved he was an overcomer. Then he met Melchizedek. Then Melchizedek gave him bread and wine. The great time. And for a subject, we want to take the vindication of the promise in the battle. Before the communion. The promise was vindicated to Abraham in the battle before the communion. Now I wanted to see this, that Genesis 14, what you read here, for the past tonight, we've been using a principle in the Bible that what is in Genesis, the book of beginning, is in the book of Revelation. Because Genesis was the seed. Revelation is the crop. The seed brings forth after its kind. And we prove that in the book of Genesis, there's a Tower of Babel. And we prove in the book of Revelation, there's a Tower of Babel. We show there's an alias in the book of Genesis. Bringing a bride for Isaac in the evening time. Then in the book of Revelation, there's an alias. Bringing a bride for Isaac. In the time, we saw Abram and Sarah was changed after Elohim came before Solomon's birth. We saw that in Genesis. We see it in Revelation also. We see Joseph making himself known to his brothers. In the book of Genesis, when it's going to happen in the book of Revelation, proving that everything is going to have this kind. Now, if there's a slaughter of the kings, where Abraham delivered the captives and then meet Melchizedek in the book of Genesis, then in the book of Revelation, there must be a time when Abraham will deliver the captives, have the ministry of reconciliation to restore the fallen ones and overcome in the battle and then meet Melchizedek. No, it has to be. Because if it's in Genesis, it has to be in Revelation. And Genesis 14, verse 18, Melchizedek giving Abraham wine after the battle is that type of the wedding supper. Amen. And then Matthew 26, verse 26 to 29, when Jesus told the disciples, I will not drink the fruit of the vine until I meet in my Father's kingdom, the prophet says that is the wedding supper. That is when that will happen. And Revelation 19, verse 7 to 9 is the call to the wedding supper. Blessed and holy is he who is called to the wedding supper.
Let the glad rejoice. The bride of ministers ready. The marriage takes place here. But we go to the wedding supper to meet Melchizedek. But we can't go and meet Melchizedek and get communion except we overcome the battle. So the battle is before the communion. And 1 Thessalonians 4:16, the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout, with a voice of the archangel, and with a trump of God. And the prophet says, in the rapture message, take to the tomb, is a shout, a voice, and a trumpet. Now the third thing is a trumpet, which always at the feast of trumpets is calling the people to the feast. And that's the bride supper. The lamb supper with the bride in the sky. What is it? What is the lamb supper? With the bride in the sky? It's the trump of God. But the trump of God comes after the shout and the voice. And 1963 to 1965 with a shout. 1965 to 1985, and after the voice, and the trump is the wedding supper. Get communion from Melchizedek. So somewhere before the trumpet, Abraham is going to deliver his brother, the fallen ones, and bring them back. No, Lot didn't get communion. Showing the foolish virgins who came out with the wise virgins with Elohim came down in Revelation 12 and called them out the God of glory, manifesting the glory of God. Come out of her, get out of that country and out of that kindred and come into our land. And Abraham in the calling out age with Elohim, Revelation 10 jump down to call him out of Babylon. Come out of all people. Lot went out together. Genesis 12 is midnight. At midnight at Genesis 12 is a long time. Behold, a bride is coming, going out to meet him. And the wise virgin Abraham and the foolish virgin Lot went out together. Hallelujah! And Genesis 14, Abraham getting communion from Melchizedek, the trump of God, the wedding supper. So between Genesis 12, the shout, and Genesis 14, the wedding supper, between that time is a battle. Hallelujah! Abraham with a ministry of reconciliation, with a word of reconciliation, delivering the captive. What an adoption time! Hunting the lost, going out. Betraying servants. Born in his own household. Abraham is faith. He was born in the household of faith. Hallelujah. Train deacons. Train trustees. Train some leaders. Train servants. Hallelujah. The monkey on the horses. Like in Revelation 19. Oh, I enjoyed myself tonight. My horse is prancing. It's an unadulterated word. A snow white horse with a military prance. Hallelujah. Abraham had the same kind. And Abraham trained servants with the same kind. And they went after them kings. Abaddon. And the rest of them kings. The angel of the bottomless pit. Them demon powers. King pride. And king jealousy. King, all these false kings. On the pale horses. Hallelujah. than the pale color horse. Amen. But Abraham and the ten servants and a white horse. Called the word of God. Hallelujah. And when he went out in the battle, it was in the battle. When he put his life on the line, when he took his best men, his best servants, the best horses, and they put the life in jeopardy. For the fallen brother, it was in the air. God vindicated the promise to Abraham that he was heir of all kings. He had received the promise before. God revealed Abraham the promise. But now God is vindicating the promise that was revealed to Abraham. The promise was vindicated before the last trump. It's the voice of the archangel, the identification of the bride. When God will vindicate the bride, that she's heir of all kings. Because Elijah restored kings. And she had the title deed, the authoritative word. And she can go forth under the inspiration of enforcing and tell Satan, give it back. Hallelujah. He belongs to me. And inside of the earth, Abraham went out with the shout and the trumpet with trained servants. Mature Christians. They're not a place. They're not going to jostle one another. They have no spirit of competition. They can take instructions. When Abraham divided camp and they went forth with one purpose, a revelation, a redemption, a ministry, a full restoration, of enforcing the city enforcer, come and see, and make the devil give up those that belong to us. And after you overcome, he meet Melchizedek. Hallelujah! So here we are. Watch yourself. See if your life is matching that. That's the meal offering. He sacrificed what he had. His own life. His men. The horses. The substance.
What kind of food?
And when he sacrificed everything, God came on the scene and manifested the promise. Hallelujah! If you didn't go out yet,
well now.
The promise would only be in word form. The bride
ain't
happy with just a promise in word form.
No, that was it.
She wants to see the promise in reality form. And she has to anoint that word. She has to act upon it. To make it manifest. But I wanted to see the way God set it up. Because God knew Abraham's heart. What kind of spirit was in him? God had a lot of battles between Abraham and Lot to take place. And then when the time came, God
was
going to vindicate the promise. God created the right circumstances.
You
will have to take the token. Not your human spirit. The token. So go from Dan to Beersheba. From one end of Palestine. All the way to the other end. And the prophet says that also is a type of Jesus who left heaven
and
come out to hell. From one end to the other end to redeem us. And hell is created on the earth. And them kings, demon powers, have locked under the influence, bound in chains of darkness. But Abraham, amen, and his trained servants, going from Dan to
Beersheba,
in that hour, with an inspiration, they're not going to come back except they restore the fallen brothers. Then he met Melchizedek. Oh, hallelujah. So notice this.
The rapture, the trumpet,
with the song of the trumpet.
All of that trumpet call is under the feast of the trumpet. What? Which was the Pentecostal feast? The great feast in the sky. And the feast of the trumpet? No, a trumpet denounced a calling together. Calling to the feast. And now that is the Lamb's Supper in the sky. The feast of the trumpet. The wedding supper. So what it was? It was the wedding supper. The trump of God. So Genesis 14:18. A type of the wedding supper. In the book of Genesis. The seed chapter. Abraham. Getting communion. Melchizedek. And Jesus coming in the middle of the Bible. Look back at Genesis. Even before the Passover was instituted by Moses. And even before the Lord instituted the Lord's Supper. And revealed that it was his body to be broken. Long before that time, Melchizedek had given Abraham bread and wine. Amen. Genesis 14. So Jesus, knowing that was a type of the last trump, it will be the wedding supper. In the middle of the Bible, he took that prophecy in Genesis and he put it for the last day under the seventh seal. He always did that. He took Genesis 18 in Luke 7:30 and he said, the Son of Man will reveal again like it was in Sodom. He took Noah, shut in the ark on the seventh peak. After the door swing shut, when the third one went to the total loss, he took it on the Genesis and he put it on the seventh seal. As it was in the days of Noah, so it shall be in the last days. Because Jesus understood all those who were seeds in Genesis. So he gave a prophecy because he knew he was that king. He knew when he was in theophany, he was that Melchizedek who gave Abraham bread and wine. He knew when he came in flesh, he was flesh. And eat bread and drink milk. Abraham rejoiced to see his day. Because Jesus preached it. So he knew he was going to come back in Revelation 10 and eat cherry pie and drink buttermilk. Amen. You see, so he knows he also has to come back as Melchizedek, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and give us bread and wine at the wedding supper. He knows that. So here he was, taking that scripture and read it as a prophecy and tell him, I'll drink it with you in my Father's kingdom. Amen. And then the book of Revelation, when the revelation was being given, right here, in the continuation of the same scripture, that priest speak of the bride being made ready to go in the rapture, it's a blessed day who are called unto the wedding supper. Amen. And a prophet, coming now, taking Genesis 14, taking Matthew 26, taking Revelation 19, he ties it in the first Thessalonians 4. And to the trump of God is the wedding supper. Amen. You say, brother, is that so? Let me read it for you. Who is this Melchizedek? Page 21. Notice after the battle was over, Melchizedek served his victorious child communion. And the prophet says, think of that now. Part of himself. Now we want to see here, Melchizedek is a theophany. And you will go to your theophany. Hallelujah. You who are alive and remain, you will go to your theophany.
He does, Zimbabwe.
Part of Melchizedek. Because he's King Theophany. Your soul was a gene in the loins of Elohim. And your theophany was in Melchizedek. Hallelujah. Glory, and your flesh was in Adam. Amen. So notice in the Bible, those who were laying out their seeds, and they prophetized them into the seventh seal. After the battle, Abraham, he gave himself because the communion is part of Christ. After the struggle is over, after you have done, get yourself whipped out. After you empty out, then that is when you are partaker of Christ. You
can
part of his being. Amen. But Melchizedek, after his child won the victory, Melchizedek met him and gave him wine and bread. Genesis 14. Showing that after the earthly battle is over, we'll meet him in the heavens. 1 Thessalonians 4. And take communion again. It will be the wedding supper. Revelation 19. I will not drink no more of the vine. Or eat the fruit. Or I eat and drink it with you. And you, my Father's kingdom. Matthew 26. So look at the spiritual mind of a prophet. Who was sent to reveal the mysteries. He began to tie it up in. To show us. Where the promise. That was revealed to us. In the shout. Would be vindicated. And then we'll meet Melchizedek. The last trump. And the mystery of the seventh seal. The threefold secret. In the life of Abraham. Laying in the book of Genesis. And the prophet picking it up. And bringing it open up to us. And the message communion. In the Easter revival. Page 31 and 32. Speaking about a lot. Are we following the time of testing? He chose the easy route. And then he ended up into trouble. Ended up down in Sodom. And then he got into captivity. Amen. He was bound in chains. And during that time, Abraham,
the
knight of the just, he was so concerned about his nephew.
Abraham,
a representative of the real true Christian, tried and tested and proven.
Oh, hello. What is he not?
Hallelujah. Is that the kind of Christians in this hour?
You are not so clever, let's cut it now.
Tried and tested and proven? That God can say this is my beloved son? That can have a spoken word ministry? Amen. He says, and that's the type.
Don't
want Abraham going after his fallen brother. Then they took his sword and they chopped those kings down.
Here
there was not one of them left. And that's the type of the gospel preacher. When he sees that sin,
has
caught his church,
has
caught the people, he takes the blessed old gospel, the
Son
of the Spirit, and he chops and
shout
until he cuts it out of his church. If he's a true servant of God, he removes all the nonsense, all the tattling, all the backbiting. He removes all those calumniators of the world. He takes the word and he chops it one time. 2 Corinthians 3. Paul speaking. We are changing glory into glory. Beholding the glory of the Lord. As in a mirror. And we change into the same image. And right away, he then seen we have this ministry. Now we form in the word image. Now we know as we are known. Now we see ourselves in the mirror of the word. Now the seven seal mysteries unveil to us. We not see through a glass darkly no more. Face to face. We who bypass the word have come back to the word.
Yes,
yes. And now you come back to that place.
Yes, yes.
And you know you are the perfect match in peace.
Yes, brother. Yes, yes.
To the presence of God.
Yes, yes. Of God for you.
See, it is seen we have this ministry.
Yes.
As we have received mercy,
yes.
We faint not. Hallelujah.
Yes.
And then it continues on.
Yes.
Speaking.
Yes.
How we have to give our, we are all delivered unto death.
Yes. For
Jesus' sake.
Yes.
And it continues on. But we are ambassadors of Christ.
Amen.
Amen. And you know what an ambassador is?
Yes,
the prophet said an ambassador, if it's correctly sent and ordained, the power of that nation is behind that man. Hallelujah. That authority is invested in him. And Paul, still we are ambassadors. And he keeps on speaking. And he says we have the word of reconciliation. And the ministry of reconciliation. Hallelujah! That's what life is in you for.
Those
seven virtues. Those seven mysteries. Those seven voices. Those seven thunders. Inside of you. The token. The person of Jesus Christ. All seven spirits. Becoming one spirit. All seven mysteries. Becoming one mystery. Christ himself. The mystery of God. Be revealing you. What is it for? To finish the commission. Hallelujah. To redeem the law, and minister of adoption, to go forth and overcome all them kings, and deliver your loved ones, and then you will meet Melchizedek. Hallelujah! When did Abraham have that inspiration? Between the calling out and meeting Melchizedek. When the promise was revealed unto him. What is your inspiration? Between the calling out and meeting Melchizedek. If you say you believe these things, are you hunting the Lord? You have a burden in your heart for the fallen ones. Or are you only comparing scripture? Are you only in argument? I am competing with one another. Because somebody criticize you. Because somebody oppose you. And they end up in sin. Do you laugh at them? And
that's
good for them. Because they leave me. You are judging them.
But
I am taking your sin, servant. I am praying for them. I am going out the air with the Spirit of Christ to deliver them. Because is in the air. Your promise is vindicated. Could it be tonight that the reason the promise is only in word form? It's only something to talk about. It's only something to read about. Because you are not going out to deliver your loved one. Because you have the burden in your heart. That's why God can vindicate his word. Because in the battle the promise was vindicated. In the battle, Abraham's faith was confirmed. Hallelujah! It was the wisdom of God who ordained the experience that way to bring it to a test. But Abraham could display that Spirit of Christ. Amen. But Abraham said, page 32. Communion. After the battle was over. After the victory is won. After the purge had been made. Melchizedek met Abraham. On the plains. And brought bread and wine. And served to him. And this same Melchizedek. Said, I will take no more of the fruit of the vine.
Until
I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. After the battle is over. When the victory is won. Then we'll take it anew in his kingdom when the last battle is fought. When the last sword has killed the last evil of the world and the great church of the living God triumphs. Christ will meet them in the air with bread and wine again and take the communion and for eternity in the presence of the Father. Amen. So notice, we have established that the communion is the wedding supper. And that takes place at the last trump. And between the sixth and seventh trumpets, the God of glory dropped down on the scene in a calling out age and manifest the glory of God. And the voice spoke, revealed the mystery, and called Abraham by his name. He heard his name called, but he was still connected to unbelief. And he was coming along with unbelief.
Lot,
the flesh man, and he had to make a total separation from all unbelief before he could get the promise. So he could only see so much of the promise. He had no real revelation of the promise. He could repeat what God said, but his mind was still locked.
To
the promise. But God called him in that Abrahamic age,
an
unconditional covenant, and God in
Abraham
was showing his election, his grace. Hallelujah! And God came down, Revelation 10, with a book. In the Abrahamic age, unconditional covenant, showing his election, called our name, and we came out. Bible says Abraham by faith, when he heard the voice of God, obeyed, and went sojourning in a strange land, and doing what's happening. We are all Abraham. We all come that way. We came with unbelief, little unbelief. And Abraham came in a lot. And the unbelief, God is going to show him, he had to separate from it. It was going to cause trouble. Because sometimes, when we come along, we think we could bring along this. We were self-styled. Well, I used to be that way. Well, that's the way I grew up. Well, I'm accustomed to this. But God don't really want me to change that. But sometimes God let conditions come and those things embarrass you. It brings a shame to God's name. It causes you trouble. And then you get the revelation. No promise is going to happen until you separate from those things. So what was happening? In Genesis 13, we do have the Abraham. Lot and Abraham heard them. They have a lot of strife. Contention. Amen. And by that time, Lot was prospering in a little business. So he thought maybe he could challenge Abraham. Because he was kind of seeing he was being blessed too. But he failed to realize that through Abraham he's being blessed. And because he was connected to Abraham, he could be blessed. Because he was around Abraham, he could be blessed. By that time, if you're going to tell him that, he wouldn't accept it.
Well,
because he could point to you. He had more cattle than when he started. He had more servants than when he started. His wife had more clothes than when he started. All these things. But what was happening? He was being blessed because of Abraham. And all of a sudden, his herdsmen and Abraham's herdsmen begin to fight. Now the sheep was eating. The sheep wasn't fighting. The herdsmen was fighting. Amen. Among themselves. But the sheep was eaten.
What is it?
And it was going to cause contention. And Abraham in the spirit of Christ, he began to talk to them. He said, my brother Lot, let us be of peace. Let's not strive against one another. And Abraham began to plead for his brother. Because if he really called out, had a revelation of election, seen the grace of God, had a covenant, that God is not what you do, but I will do for you, that Abraham with that revelation, and faith in what God said, could give Lot first choice. Now Abraham could have used superiority over Lot. Abraham could have intimidated him and begin to pronounce judgment upon him. But that is not the type, you see. God wasn't so thinking about Abraham, the natural man. God wanted to make a type. God is making a type to reveal the bride in the last day. Showing how she will have to behave when she's called out. When she's walking in the line of the promise. When she's under expectation for the interpretation. Before she meets Melchizedek. At the last trump. While she lives under the mystery seven seals. From 1963. To 1985. God was showing in the Bible. Making a type. Because the people. The light was striking. They were casting that shadow. Amen. So Abraham was showing forth that people under the seven seals, between the shout and the trump, from 1963 until the middle of Chesedek, Abraham was revealing the behavior. Hallelujah! I just feel like God don't believe the fifth rib tonight. Amen. Now watch something. And here was Abraham. Standing there. He said, Lot, if you go east.
What you to help him
along? I will go west. Now he had the right. God promised him the land. He is the one who bring Lot out. See, you see what I mean? He knew Lot was blessed because of him. But he never reproached him. He never bring up all them things. Because he was in a higher realm than that. You see, Abraham was an eagle. Abraham was a silver dollar. Lot was a hawk on the telephone pole. See, Lot was a penny, and Abraham was a silver dollar. It took 100 lots to make one Abraham. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So Lot could look at him. Abraham could look at Lot. And give him first choice. Match your type tonight. Look at your life tonight. See if it's dovetailing. Then you're going to be rejoicing. You'll be marching and praising God. You'll be going to meet Melchizedek. You'll be lifting your hands to the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth. Hallelujah! And while Abraham went, did Lot take first choice? But Lot in the humanistic realm, because his soul wasn't changed, he learned some of the mysteries by being associated with Abraham, but he never bring no birth. He didn't get it back to the Holy Ghost. So this all down the soul, it's not a worldly taste. His thinking wasn't filtered. But every man a thinking man filter. Every man a holy man taste. So Lot now, the foolish virgin, makes it happening believer there. He's looking at the where there's plenty grass. Where there's plenty water. And the spirit of covetousness. He coveted it. And he pitched his tent towards Sodom. He esteemed the material things greater than the revelation. He has seen the material things greater than
Abraham.
He didn't see his daughters was going to end up marrying the homosexuals. He didn't see you'll end up with AIDS down inside here. He didn't see that. He didn't see his wife was going to be turned to a pillar of salt and be judged. He didn't see incest was going to come into his home. He can see all that because he gets so deep into material things. His spirit gets so much so caught up in money and popularity. See, you see what I'm talking about? Because he esteemed that he was around Abraham all the years. And never understood that you didn't bless because of Abraham. It was so quickly erased from his mind. The supernatural things that always accompanied Abraham. Many a time you get away from the effects of the revelation that will come to Abraham by inspiration. And these things begin to lose its effect upon him. Because he began to bunch in the wrong company. He wanted to climb the social ladder. He wanted recognition. He began to get attached to worldly associations. And he didn't realize he was going away. Slipping into darkness. He was going back into Laodicea. What they were called from. When the God of glory came down, he couldn't see it. He's being caught in the snares of the things in his life. He didn't conquer the world to escape. All his self-feeding and drunkenness. And these things that come upon the face of the earth. And while Lot went down there, I could see him tonight looking out through the newspapers, reading the advertisements, doing a little extra studies on the side. You want to get a little better education, trying to polish up his grammar. Oh, he sees nice when he wear nice suit of clothes, have his picture taken out with some celebrity in the world, feel very important to be invited to the businessman's breakfast. And he wasn't seeing how Satan was spraying him with unbelief. He wasn't taking notice. He was no longer having family prayer. He was no longer taking notice that the girls was now cutting the ends of the hair. The dress length was coming up. His wife was home watching television. You see, all this was going on. He was too busy with business. So then he saw an opportunity to apply for the job of mayor. Amen. And he went down there, and with all his knowledge he gets from around Abraham and the revealed word, and knowing how to approach situations, he was now using the revealed word for the wrong purpose. He was not trying to compromise and take a little social drink because he wanted to keep the business contracts. Because ever so often, he was peeping at the bank book and find the bank book was rising. And then he's making new plans to buy a bigger house, buy a farm, maybe take a trip. Oh, you climbing the social ladder. And all that time, Abraham was preaching to Sarah. Hallelujah! Sarah was praying.
And the presence of God was getting richer and richer. Some of the wells that was drying up. Some of the cattle were starving. But when you have revival, you leave the dishes in the sink. Hallelujah! You leave your bed unmade sometimes because you don't want to stop praying because you have some current in the line. Hallelujah! And while every man Sarah all the time sometimes the season of the businessman. How is my nephew
Lord?
Oh, tell him that we have that we miss him so much. And every man will say, how is he going? And you can see all Lord's servants anointed with Lord's spirit. They say, oh, he's doing fine. They thought prosperity was a sign of God's blessing. And they say, you know something? Look at a promotion in his job. I tell you, the Lord is really blessing him. And all that time, Abraham was saying, I understand that they're teaching all kinds of sex things in schools now. And Abraham said, I understand they're having ecumenical services down in Salem now. He said, I wonder what God is doing. And I see Salem is coming worse and worse. I'm going to report in the newspaper. And he's coming more and more concerned. Because Abraham, though he and Lot had a few clashes, Abraham made sure no root of bitterness get in his soul. Hallelujah. Abraham always is willing to say, well, maybe the Lord has the boy to go through that experience. Amen. Sometimes some of Abraham's own men,
yes, he's got Abraham.
Who will really understand where Abraham's inspiration coming from? They would say, I saw Lot the other day and I passed him straight. Sometimes Abraham own men.
Yes, he's cut it from.
They would come and tell Abraham.
But them said,
I saw your nephew.
Let him room to love.
And I passed him straight.
Look at this.
I wouldn't even shake his hand.
I'm going to touch his hand.
And Abraham would tell him, no, you mustn't do that.
Abraham would tell me, I'm going to do.
You must pray for him.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. What was Abraham doing?
Abraham was
training his servants.
Hallelujah.
Didn't God say it? Shall I hide this from Abraham? Because I know what kind of man he is. I can reveal the mysteries to him. He will go and fight people with it. But he will teach his household. He will teach them to worship God. And here the time came now. Sodom was overtaken. Them kings from the bottomless pit. Hell was being emptied out on the earth. And they began to move. And they moved into Sodom. And they took Abraham into captivity. They took Lot rather into captivity. When did that take place? After Abraham was called
out.
And before he met Melchizedek. Between the shout and the trump.
What one could take below?
All that is happening.
Well, get up against the wall.
During that time.
Let us call.
Amen. But notice something. During that time, God had told Abraham, since you separate all unbelief, God told him afterwards, lift up your eyes now. What is eyes? Revelation. Seeing. Prophetic. And look from this place. Northward. You'll see an eagle there. Southward. You see a man there. Eastward. You see a lion there. Westward. You see an ox there. Amen. All this land. It's yours. Begin to walk into it now. Notice that. When he was called, he was given the promise. We heard the promise. of the third Paul, of the spoken word, of the princely laws, all his promises, greater works than these. But our mind was still locked up to it. Because God would not make it plain while we still had unbelief. While we were still connected to unbelief. But after God saw us, God told Abraham, the season come for you now. Temple some lot. Empty out everything. I knew when that season came for us back home. The Holy Spirit begin to give messages to bring a separation from all unbelief. The people didn't understand many a time. They think you've been hard against them. They think you're attacking them. But that minister had to cut away unbelief. Because God wants to bring more revelation on the promise in its fullness. God wants to bring the word in its fullness. Not just a little truth here and a little truth here. All seven voices are thundering that church. Hallelujah! And show that church positionally where she is and rub the make-believe out and see that church be lifted in the power of God and come to a perfect faith. In a great shaking down, the prophet said it, but we have to have that in order to come into that perfect faith for the rapture. And Abraham had to go through that. He had to separate from all unbelief. Amen. And when he could do it, when he come through that season, when he obeyed the word of God, and the word of God identified the unbelief, and he was obedient and empty out and separate from it. But he wanted to sleep, but he can't sleep. He lay on the night. Revelation flooded his soul. He has to jump out of his bed, pick up his book, and begin to write. He talking in the car. The Holy Spirit dropped down in the car. Revelations that have come forth. He prayed with his wife home. The Holy Spirit fall. They prayed through the night. Why could have that kind of blessing? Because he's separate from all unbelief. Walk in the land now. Walk in the third pole. Walk in the midst of the thunder. Walk in the midst of the trumpet. Walk in the midst of the vial. Walk in the midst of the second cycle. Walk in the midst of the unknown language. Walk in the midst of the new name. Walk in the entire land. Hallelujah. And during that time, Abraham, after he received the promise, he had believed it. But it hadn't been vindicated. But God saw the need. Get it? God saw the need of vindicating the promise to Abraham. You think you desire the promise? You think you want the promise? God wants to give it to you more than you want it. Amen! And God saw the need. What would I do? God knew Abraham was sitting down there. Oh, he studied there night. He separated from what God had separated from. What is the He began to walk into the land. He began to see more things. He lift up his eyes. He couldn't see this mystery between the same trumpet before. He couldn't see the mystery of the voice of the archangel before. But he lifted up his eyes. He has seen it. Amen. And during that time, he sat down under his oak tree one day. What should I put to say? Oak tree. And he was meditating. Reminiscing a little bit. As the brother said, like going down memory lane. Looking back at how God had dealt with him. Don't you do that sometimes, Abraham? Ever so often you remember how God called you up into the message? You saw when you had things in your life you had to separate from? You saw when you obeyed God, He gave you more revelation? I know you have a thirst to see the living God, a painful desire. You want to see the promise vindicated. And you're thinking now, not beginning to see the world a little more plainer. Maybe it might happen now. And so we're going to have some special meetings. And you get a little excited. Maybe it might happen in these meetings. Because we're in the season. We're in the time. I look at my life. I step into everything. My understanding is open up. I know my position. I know my promise. Maybe God might do it now. We all live without expectation. We live in that place. Believing. Sometimes you're on your job. A co-worker gets sick. Drop down on the work. And quickly you say, Lord, is this a situation? You're going to manifest your promise? I testify to them about the message? Maybe you're going to vindicate it now. Somebody has changes in the service. They fought against the message. They're full of theology. And they say, oh God, tonight, come down and vindicate your word. Let them see a manifestation. Let them see a presence identified. You live in the air. You want to see that. Something in your own home. Something happened to your children. And you apply the word. And like God will answer. And you say, Lord, is there something wrong with the life? Is there something I need to separate from? Because these things are supposed to be happening. Sometimes we hear the prophet that these signs shall follow that I believe. And you feel condemned in your heart. You say, I know I believe. But you're seeing these things following me. So you want the promise vindicated. No, Abraham was like that. Abraham, where is God? He's sitting under inspiration. Where should I put to go? And thinking, meditating. And while he's in the atmosphere. Hey, what's your problem? Looking for the promise to be vindicated. Because it's revealed to him now. After his calling out. After his separation. Before he met Melchizedek. Inside of the air. His eyes was open. He understood what part of the world he was. He understood what God promised him. And he's been thinking about it. Maybe it could happen. He really got a strange feeling. He just felt inspired. But he couldn't see no situation. I can't understand why I feel the presence of God this way. And I ain't see no situation. All of a sudden, a man came sweating. He rode his horse. He runs straight to Abraham's tent. He collapsed for lack of breath. Quickly, Sarah came with some water. Amen. He washed his face. He washed his feet. Abraham gave him something to eat. He said, what's the matter? He said, you're causing Lot. I'm actually concerned Abraham feels. Amen! In that hour, I can see the concern Abraham feels. He gets serious right away. Tell me about him. He said, he's taken into captivity. What you said to him? His wife. The armies came. They're burnt. They looted. They destroyed everything in the way. Many died. Lot was in the captivity. They put chains on his neck. He's so backslidden right now. He begged me. We was together. And I was asking him. Wasn't he supposed to be a religious man? Because I remember a time I offered him a cigarette years ago and he said he doesn't smoke. Now he had a pack in his pocket. So I asked him, what's the matter? While he was telling me, well, he don't believe all this, that God wants to live this strict life. He had a fanatic cousin named Abraham. So, and at the same time, he's captured. And I escaped. While I was running for my life. He tell me,
once
he tried to get to Abraham.
Abraham.
Because Lot knew deep down in his heart. Though Abraham would correct him at times. He knew Abraham loved him. He remembered very clearly.
On
that day,
that Abraham
could have taken first choice. And Abraham preferred him. He knew Abraham. When he was busy many a time. And he come and knock on his door. In the middle of the night, he was sick. Abraham would wake up out of his bed. An old man. And struggled to get out there. With arthritis. Rheumatism. Had a hard scoffers and mockers. Laughing at him. And he would pray for Lot. And Lot began to remember them times. He knew Abraham loved him. If he could get to Abraham.
Where was Abraham?
Maybe Abraham could pray. Maybe Abraham could do something. He didn't say go to the king of Sodom. He didn't say go to the bank manager. He didn't say go to the president. He said go to get Abraham.
What time did it Abraham?
And by the time he came to Abraham, and the news fell on Abraham's head.
Abraham
stand right here. And Satan began to push upon Abraham.
Abraham.
He deserved that. You talk to him once. Twice? He chose to go there? Let him face the consequences. You're going to go and wake up your men tomorrow night? You're going to go and take your best horses? So Abraham was so anointed. Something deep down his heart. Told him. Maybe God allowed this situation. Because I was just thinking. When this man came in. Just last night.
Eshkol,
Mamre, they get the men. Abraham get his men.
While
Abraham is selling the horses,
Satan
stole him. Take them 2-3 sick horses. Because you're going in a battle. And if they die, you ain't lose nothing. Take them 2 sick old men. You pray for them so long. And they can't get better. So in case they die in the battle, you ain't lose nothing. So, and after all, if Lot didn't get delivered, nobody can say they didn't try. Amen. But
Abraham
had a different kind of spirit. His revelation put him in a different atmosphere. Because he knew when he was a heathen, worshiping idols, by election, God saw his grace and called Abraham out. He knew in Revelation 10, when the world was being judged, and the mighty angel came down, there were many religious people, and Abraham. He preached the mystery and he called him out. And of some have compassion.
Abraham
saw Lot in the fire.
But
he just put him out of the fire.
He
saw Lot with his garments buttoned by the flesh. But he looked beyond his
foot.
Hallelujah! One objective, one purpose. What it was? Between the calling out
what
and the redemption of the fallen ones.
No, we share one. Baba,
the time of the battle. The prophet says in the Hebrew book,
Page 298.
When Abraham took after the enemy,
Abraham
that took his brother,
when I took him for
and pursued him,
all
the way across the nation,
Israel,
to Dan, he complained. I'm going to write a letter. I try to get him on the telephone. No, sir. He saddled the horses. And they ride.
What's it called?
Amen.
What's your spirit?
What is your life?
What's your life?
What is your life?
That is the shout of the bride.
Yeah,
before the last trumpet. And the voice of the archangel.
Yeah,
is the mystery before the last trumpet.
Yeah,
and that is the mystery between the shouting of the trumpet. Between the Gentile prophet and the Jewish prophet. Showing in that hour. Is a ministry of reconciliation. Trained servants. Trained church. In order. Everyone with a place. And Ephesians. Amen.
Glory.
Amen.
And they went all the way to Beersheba.
Bamba, Beersheba.
And they brought back everything that he lost in the fall.
What
a beautiful picture of Christ the prophet says. Who heard from heaven that we were lost and came and pursued the enemy all the way to hell and captured the lost souls and brought us back and restored us to everything that we had before the fall. Amen. Look at mystery's place. It was a ministry of restoration and judgment. Abraham,
between
the calling out,
and
Melchizedek,
the
shout of the trump, a ministry of restoration, restore the fallen ones, a ministry of deliverance, to deliver the captives, a ministry of redemption, to bring the fallen ones back to the rightful position, and a ministry of judgment upon all them kings. Amen. Is that the ministry of the masterpiece? Didn't he open the prison doors and bring some out? And preach to others in hell? Didn't he do it? Right in the Bible. We saw the first night. We saw the hour that's going to come down. We saw the time to spiritually reveal the world. Last night, we saw the mystery of self-sacrifice. What Abraham now?
Abraham.
A revelation of bodily kindness.
Great
love at the man in this. A revelation of bodily kindness. A greater love has no man than this. Than a man who
loves
his life his friend. Take his best. Put his life in jeopardy. Go that far distance. And not for one moment. The devil could influence him.
To
tell him, don't go. That man don't deserve that. Abraham knew Lot wasn't
going
to come back with him.
Because when Lot went
back to Sodom, and Elohim came,
to
burn the place, Abraham was still praying for Lot. Love is long suffering. Amen. Do you see what we're talking about?
The words come up.
Where the always?
The first cut is
what type of battle you're going to have? What type of test God going to design? What kind of situation you have to prove yourself worthy in? What kind of situation God choose to reveal the promise? We saw it last night. God knew how that widow was going to behave. He told Elijah, I command her to feed you.
What did Elijah say? He had the rest of the brother Abu.
He knows she'll put her all out.
Where's the one that my food?
And then God vindicated the promise. He knew it,
Abraham.
How he's going to behave.
Where's the father John?
So when that situation comes,
Abraham
could show
Abraham
the type of spirit he had. To show the character it takes to the voice of the archangel before he can meet Melchizedek, before he can go to the wedding supper, show the type of conditions, the nature of tests that you have to overcome
in.
Not what test you want God to give you. What test God knows it will take his life and not your human spirit. Right in the Bible. Right here in the season. Right here in the continuity of the message. For this very hour. And we are confronted with a similar kind of situation. Amen. Because you're in the Bible. If you are part of the bride, then what we're going through, somebody in the Bible went through before us. That's why God can put it by a shadow. That's why you can have faith in your way of living
it.
So you can be identified with it. Amen. Also in the book of Hebrews, he said, we are in the battle now. We are after our fallen brother. That God, before the foundation of the world, so unpredestinated, unto eternal life. So
Lord
was tied up. Peter said, his righteous soul was vexed with
himself.
Hallelujah! And the Spirit of Christ in us, as it would be in
Abraham,
we have gone after him with all the armor of God. The angels of God encamp about us. We are going to bring back our fallen brother. Brother Abraham pledged, I will love my brother. Hallelujah! And when the battle is finally ended, he said, we'll meet Melchizedek again. Also in the Hebrews,
May 301.
He said, no, I want you to notice. Abraham said, I'll not take my thread to a shoe latchet. He didn't fight the war to make a lot of money. And real battles are not made with selfish motives. Wars are not fought for money. Wars are fought for motives, for principles. Is it that why we'll have all these kinds of tests with his face? Because these types identify the conditions of the age. And many times we don't look deep into the scripture enough to know what is the situation we confront us. That we have, what test we have to overcome. If you have to be adopted. Amen. And when Abraham went out to get Lot, he didn't go because he knew he could whip the kings and take all the possessions. He went up with the principle of saving his brother. And any minister, thank you, Jesus. Amen. That set out under the inspiration of the King of Heaven will not go for money. Neither will he go to make big churches. Neither will he go to inspire denominations. He'll only go for one principle. And that's to bring back his fallen brother. Amen. So notice here, as we close, the voice of the archangel, the second fold mystery, the seventh seal, which identifies the bride, the true heirs of the promises of God. And that voice of the archangel comes before the last trump. And during that time, is the time of the slaughter of the kings. That is the time of the slaughter of the kings. Is the time of the deliverance of the captives. What is God revealing all the world to you for? Full you up in knowledge? Make you feel spiritual? To train and get you ready. To go and deliver captives. Is the time of the restoration of the fallen ones. It's also the time of the vindication of the promise. When the promiser, was vindicating the promise. To the heirs of the promise. When was it vindicated? In the battle. God created that situation. Just give you this quote here. Possessing all things. Abraham had a right to the promise. And the promise was his. Yet he had to fight to possess. Get it? That's the way God has got it set up. Receive this in this local assembly. That's the way God has got it set up. You have to fight for it. And wars are fought for principles. For true scriptural motives. Amen. And in that kind of situation, will God vindicate the promise to prove you are the bride. Amen. It's always been that way. You've got to fight to possess what you know is your own. You have to fight to possess it. And that's what we have to do now. Is that why God let the devil move in your home and take your children out in the world? After the minister preached to you and separated you all unbelief? After God gave you more revelations to anoint your faith? Like when you're getting so right and close to God? Things go wrong in your home? And you get discouraged? Don't get discouraged. That's to put your faith into action. So if there wasn't a dead fish, then God can tell the prophet to speak to the fish. If there wasn't a storm, a blizzard, God couldn't just speak to the storm. If he needed schools and couldn't get none, God couldn't tell him, speak for schools. God had to let the condition come to vindicate the scripture in your life. To show that God is not guilty of a breach of promise. To make you a true witness and a true testimony. To show God has kept every word. So God, in this hour, is letting things come out of the ordinary and people out of the inspiration, looking at it from the humanistic realm and not following the continuity of the word, to know that it is designed for them to put their faith into action and the Holy Ghost pushing upon them to speak, manifest the word that God to be glorified. Understand that these things are not for your failure. These things is not to humiliate you. These things is to vindicate you. Many times we suffer the inferiority complex. We've done something out of the ordinary, it will happen. We think God punishing us. We think maybe we do something wrong. No! He's let it happen! Because he wants to fulfill his word through you! Jesus said, God let Lazarus die! So he can show his resurrection in life. He has already received you as a healer. But he wants to show you also the resurrection. So instead of healing when he was sick, he let him die. And he said, God let it happen. So that the believers, the apostles, would believe. So this is why God didn't let things happen. God is an Indian giver. God make the promise, you keep the promise. And you have to accept it. Act upon it. The promise is yours. If you ever get it, you wouldn't get it easy. I'm going to tell you that. You're going to have to take it away from Satan. Satan captures your health. You got a right to go to Satan and say, give it back. I come in the name of the Lord, the possess of heaven and earth. I am his heir. Give it back. You took my child. You got to mix up with the wrong boy. You took my boy and mixed up with the wrong girl. I claim them. I claim my brother. I claim my sister. Satan, you have took them from God's house. You brought them out here. I'm coming after them. I'm here of all things. It's given to me. I'm here. I can claim everything that God promised me. Amen. So notice,
And when Abraham went out, he said, after the promise had been vindicated to him, he had fellowship with the promises. Abraham had never had a test before of that kind. So he knew
that
it all belonged to him. And that was the promise. Yet he never had to fight an army. He didn't know nothing about it. So the only thing he could do was just say God promised. Put his faith in the promise. And move out. Go after it. Then when Abraham seen that, I got that promise and found out that God vindicated to him that he does keep his promise. He said, then after you see the word is vindicated to you, that you are saved, that you have the Holy Ghost, then what? Abraham had won the victory. Yeah, he come marching back. Amen. He was going down.
Where's the camper?
With faith.
And a cold.
Laying on the word. That he could bring it back. What he had lost. And here he come back with it. Marching the victor's march.
Hallelujah.
Marching the victor's. How would you know the bride? Going in the rapture. If a vision breaks, they'll be marching. Onward, Christian soldiers. Marching the victor's march. Going up in Melchizedek. Because they overcome in every country around the world. A bride in the national dress was marching. Onward, Christian soldiers. They had come from the battle. Proudly displaying the blood of Jesus Christ. The message of the hour. The second fall. The voice of the archangel in their hour. So you see what it is?
They're going to be in.
He went back marching the victor's march. After God called him out, Genesis 12. Show his election. Then he came out with unbelief. Then he was separate from that unbelief. Then the revelation began to make plain.
It
put him on expectation. And then God sent certain native of circumstances in which God is going to vindicate the promise of revealed to him. The life of Christ in
Abraham.
Between the calling out and the battle. When the promise is revealed, he trained his servants, he armed his men, and then he went out in the battle, and he overcome. He redeemed his fallen brothers. He was spirit of brotherly kindness, anointed with the capstone of love. He went out there, and God proved he was there of all things. And the last trump, Melchizedek dropped down from the seventh dimension to meet him in the air. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. The battle was over. The victory was won. We're in the battle now. And what's the nature of test you're going to have? Will you pledge tonight to go for your lost fallen brothers? Will you lay down your life tonight? Will you take your best tonight? And go and dance to Beersheba? Do you recognize there's conditions that God has designed just to vindicate his word? Would you hear it night after night when you sit in church? But that's only where he reveals it. Or where he manifests it. He's not sitting down there. He allowed conditions to come. And then you must recognize this is for the vindication. And with courage and faith,
love call it.
Step out there.
Pumalapo.
Are you a trained servant?
We never ever display you now.
The only trained servant is going around.
Nah, we never come from my customer.
318.
318.
318.
318.
That's 12.
12
is worship. 3 and 1 is 4 and 4 is 12. And 12 is worship.
12 is called.
Amen. And that's what it is in this hour, true worship. Those with oil and wine. Those who can go up there. We have ministry of deliverance. Let's all stand tonight.
Look where we're standing. Right in that very place. How are we behaving like Abraham? We prove from the scriptures that those things
are
written to shout in the trump.
That's part of the course we belong.
In 1965.
Part of 1965.
1985.
No, 1985.
Look at our behavior.
What was part of it?
Look at the conditions.
Can I see you?
Look at the nature circumstances.
What are you doing?
Do you realize now?
Yeah, I'm not just now.
All that is happening.
It's
only because God allowed
it.
God knew how Abraham would react. God knew how Job was going to react. God knew Job was going to stand there. And he wasn't going to give in to Satan. God knew the widow, the male, was going to stand there and sacrifice her all. God knew the Hebrew boys
were
going to stand there. He knew how you were going to behave also. So he designed the circumstances. But look at
Abraham.
Let him go to the wedding supper. Show the foolish versions when we're
going to wrap
it. Abraham is a better
one.
But Abraham, if you got young love, you can love him. Let's think tonight how you could put his life on the line. Like that deer.
But
what I'm talking about, this man was a hunter.
So
cruel.
He
just killed deer.
For the
fun of it.
To
show good
he could
shoot. And that day they went to hunt. The prophet tried to testify about Jesus Christ. He laughed in the prophecies. He said, you are your chicken heart. All your preachers too soft. You shouldn't be a hunter.
All
these rugged people. And there was that deer.
It was
behind the ticket.
He
kind of sent her a deer somewhere.
He
had a little flute.
Where the flute out?
And when he blew it,
what did
it
say?
It sounded just like a baby deer. Like it's lost, it's trapped somewhere. Could you hear the screams of it?
Why is the camera one?
Of the poor, sick, suffering ones.
Nabo aba shukega
ayu. Are you willing for the strong to bear the infirmity of the weak?
No, what father is in Jesus or now I'm tata.
To bear one another burdens and so forth to the Lord Christ.
Impaling our Christ.
And that mother dear heard that cry. The first thing she that struck her.
Loko kalogo zabu.
My loved one is in danger. She began to walk out. While she's walking out, she saw a double-barrel shotgun. Aim right at her heart. The bullet had already dropped into the chamber. She heard the click. And she stared right down that gun barrel. And when she saw it, she knew it was death.
That you want to be good for.
Instant death. But the cry of the loved one had more influence upon her. That made her think more of the loved one in danger than her own life. The prophet said if she was a make-believer,
from
the time she sees death, she tried to protect her own self. She run for safety. But because she's a real mother, because she had a revelation of real love, because she's a live voice, because she wasn't no make believer, she had no spirit to pretend, she had no image to project, she had nobody to impress, she wasn't doing it to get attention. She was anointed to lay her life down. And she began to walk straight into death, going to deliver that little one. And the prophet who is a prophet, who had 7 truckloads of wheelchairs, who had 30,000 saved in one meeting, 10 times
their Pentecost,
couldn't win that man to the Lord. With all the preaching he preached
to
him. Sometimes all the preaching doesn't do it.
A live
voice.
Easy.
The day manifested what the prophet had preached. I broke up that man's heart. He saw that little voice. He saw something genuine. Something real.
Into echoed.
And the man began to tremble. The gun fell out of his hand. The stony heart was broke up. Tears was flooding down his eyes. And he came. He said, Brother Billy,
what you brother Billy?
Tell me about this Jesus. I want to know him. Let that spirit, that dear manifested, which is the same that Abraham manifested. He knew he was no match for all them five kings and the great armies, trained soldiers, ruthless men, men of war. Abraham went
to
somebody who had given a lot of trouble before, who had made it hard. It showed he could forgive 77. It showed when he forgave, he forgot. It showed his love to look beyond love for and see his need. It was in that kind of situation. God vindicated this mystery of that second fold of the seventh seal.
So Paul is called
the archangel. That ministry of reconciliation. Before we meet Melchizedek in the wedding supper, as we have our heads bowed, our eyes closed, in your heart tonight, you say, Lord, I want to live the way you want me to live. I want to love the way you want me to love. I want to give, even though giving may cause heartaches and loss. I want to forgive, Lord, like you forgave. Even when they spit on your face, when they nail you to the tree, when they pierce you, when they strip you naked, when they ridicule you on the cross, when the masterpiece is smitten, the voice of the archangel on the cross and a revelation of bodily kindness, the Father forgive them. Lord, I want that kind of spirit tonight. Show by a little of your hand. As we pray, blessed be his name. God sees those hands. I have my hands up tonight too. I want that. I want that genuine thing. I want in the measure God wants to give it, and in the quality God wants to give it. We may have a little measure. We want a greater measure tonight. We want a richer quality tonight. Blessed be his name. Heavenly Father, I pray tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, in this time of the battle before the communion, Lord, in the battle now, the battle is raging. The weapons of our warfare is not carnal, because the battle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Oh God, give us that faith, that virtue, that knowledge. Lord, that temperance and patience and going and brotherly kindness and that love that overcometh all things, endureth all things, Lord. Heavenly Father, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ tonight. Lord God, may be clothed with that armor tonight. With these weapons, oh God, as we go, Father, the kind of love that can calm a raging bull, can turn back the wild hornet. The kind of love, oh God, that can love a maniac and spit it in your face. Oh God, the kind of love that can mother dear. The kind of love that can abortion, Father. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ tonight. Let that love flow tonight, Father. Let that great captain of love brood upon us tonight, Father. And let all God and love be shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. But Lord, the angels or the prophets, without that perfect love, we can't enter the air. We cannot meet Melchizedek if we don't have that kind of love, Father. I pray, oh God, tonight, a real revelation would strike our hearts. Transforming power changes tonight, Lord. Oh God, in this church, in these believers that are gathered here tonight, let the Holy Spirit, Lord, be poured out and emptied out in their hearts and lives tonight. Heavenly Father, may you bless them and strengthen them, Lord, as we come back tomorrow to honor the resurrection to worship you. Father, I pray we come filled with love and power. Oh God, to worship you, to dedicate our lives afresh, to reconsecrate our lives.
Oh, God, the love the brethren, Father. God, we prepared servants this hour, ready for our ministry of Jehovah's masterpiece. Granted, Father, to do you this service according to your will. Lord, I pray you would grant us that grace that we ask. We recognize we need it tonight, Father. We humbly confess it before you. Oh, God, we are needy, Lord. Lord, may be merciful unto us tonight. Let it be shed abroad. Let it become a living realization in our hearts and lives, Lord. Let it come until others can feel that atmosphere of love and power. You promise that that's what the token is. It's an atmosphere of love and power. A word of perfect faith that the believer lives in. Heavenly Father, may this church be so lifted up in that sphere. We pray and we ask it in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God richly bless you. As you can see.